3:35 on the Mike McFeely Show on the mighty 790 KFGO. And we just touched on the Saturday Night Live best performers. And when I said that, I didn't mean the bits necessarily, because somebody called in and said, hey, do you remember Mr. Bill? And yeah, back in the early days of SNL, there was a, was it like a claymation thing that was Mr. Bill? And it was, oh no, and he would always get crushed or whatever. I meant the performers, the Eddie Murphys, the Phil Hartmans, the Will Ferrells. Who was your favorite SNL performer? And indeed, an emailer emailed in and said, Phil Hartman, best straight man in the business. Pinto's was Will Ferrell's.
Or Al Franken.
He wasn't, no, he was more of a, he wasn't that good on Saturday Night Live. He was a writer for Saturday Night Live, more than a performer.
What was his best bit, though?
Oh, what's Stuart, the one? Stuart Smalley.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he was funny, but he wasn't, I didn't think that Frank was really that big of a regular performer. I thought he was more of a writer with his writing partner,
yeah, that's
Tom
true.
Diggs.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's go to somebody who I know is an aficionado of Saturday Night Live. His name is Dick Bramer. He is the broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins on Fox Sports North, and he joins us for his usual Wednesday gig on KFGO. Hello, Mr. Bramer. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm a Phil Hartman guy all the way.
Phil, yeah, I mean, he was good. I like Belushi's craziness, though. With Belushi, yeah. It was, and you knew even at a young age, I knew that maybe Phil had, or I knew maybe that John had some substance problems, but he was just crazy, and I kind of liked that even as a 10 or 12 or 15 year old. But Hartman was
well, good. You know, he's part of that original cast, and those characters, even Lorraine Newman and Garrett Morris. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they were the funniest comedians in the world, but they were a special group of actors.
No, it was good, and it was different at that time. It was a whole different type of television that was kind of cutting edge. And you look at it now, and you say, "Well, it was no big deal." But in the 1970s, it was a big deal.
You had that, or you had Monty Python on the BBC on public television. That was about it.
Yes, and Monty Python. When I could understand what they were saying, it was hilarious. When I couldn't understand what they were saying, it wasn't that funny. But yeah, I'm a Monty Python guy. And later came Benny Hill and everything else, but it was fantastic.
Right.
I don't know how I can transition to this either, but it is it is July 31st. It is the trading deadline in Major League Baseball, Dick. I've seen nothing that indicates that there's going to be any big major deals made by the Minnesota Twins today. I don't think there's that much time left for the team to make a trade, but are you hearing anything about Justin Morneau or anybody else with the Minnesota Twins being traded today?
No, the deadline came and passed at 3 o'clock Central Time. And as you called here to do this segment, I was just filling out the lineup card, and Justin Morneau's in there, and Jamie Carroll is in there, and everybody who was on the team last night is on the team again tonight. So, you know, I think, to be honest with you, Mike, that at the start of the month, Terry Ryan figured he would be quite active in the month of July, but it's been very disappointing to see how the players who might be considered trade chips, how they performed in July, and they did across the board really nothing to enhance their trade value. And I'm speaking of guys like Morneau and Dunsing and even Jamie Carroll.
And I was going to ask you, why do you think that nobody got traded, and does it surprise you? But I think you just answered both questions with that statement that they really didn't do much in July. But yet, does it still surprise you, even though that those guys, you know, didn't really make themselves all that attractive for other teams?
Well, in Justin's case, and his name was the most prominently mentioned, and I haven't talked with Terry Ryan about this, so this is me pretending to be him, which is not a smart thing for me to do. But you can imagine Terry being a little hesitant to trade a guy who's a future Twins Hall of Famer. They may erect a statue of him, you know, 10, 15 years from now outside Target Field if you're not going to get something substantial in return. If he leaves in the offseason as a free agent, that's a different matter. But if you trade someone like that, who really, as much as he has struggled, as much as injuries has hampered his career the last few years, he is an iconic figure for this Twins organization. If you're going to trade him, you'd better get something in return. And I honestly don't know that Justin was playing at a level in advance of the trading deadline to get much in return.
No, I agree. And my producer, Daniel Gunderson, just sent me a message. It says Drew Butera was just traded to the Dodgers. Had you heard anything about that? Is that accurate?
I have not heard anything about that, but we will hear trades like that over the next several minutes, I would think, that were executed before the 3 o'clock deadline, and that will come filtering out here over the next hour or so, I would imagine. And then Terry has also said there will be more trades in the month of August than normal. At least that's his anticipation. So it doesn't mean that the Twins won't be actively trading, but then you've got to get the players to clear waivers and all that before you can execute a trade.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing that we don't need to get into the technical details of, but there's an opportunity for the Twins to make trades later on through the baseball season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking with Dick Bramer, broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins on Fox Sports North. If you have a question or comment about Twins baseball or baseball in general, please give us a call. 237-5948 800-880-5346. Studio at KFGO.com is our email. Email came in earlier, Dick, in anticipation of your visit today, and says, Mike, please ask Dick what the chances are of getting to see Miguel Sano this year, and if not, when is a realistic time frame?
Well, I think there's a chance.
I think there's
a decent chance. Miguel Sano is in Double-A right now. He's playing third base. He's considered by everyone in baseball, not just the Twins people, as one of the brightest future stars in the game. I think Baseball America had him ranked third overall best prospect behind the number one overall prospect, Byron Buxton, who's also a Twins minor leaguer. I think it depends on their level of commitment to Trevor Plouffe at third base for next year. And if they feel like Trevor can be the guy and he can finish strongly this year, well, then maybe they would move forward with him as their third baseman. But if that's not the case, and they want to give Miguel Sano the same shot at third base that they gave Aaron Hicks in center field this year in spring training, they may very well call Sano up in September and see what they see how he reacts to everything up here.
Would the Twins be frightened by Aaron Hicks's performance this year into doing something like that, though, Dick? Because everybody had Aaron Hicks as being the man this year, especially after he had a nice spring training down in Florida. Might the Twins have second thoughts about bringing up another young player like Sano or Buxton ahead of their time, knowing what they know about Aaron Hicks?
I'm sure that that would enter into the decision-making process. They don't want to put someone in over their heads right away. To the extent that's what happened to Aaron Hicks, the Twins don't want to repeat that mistake with somebody who's frankly got a much higher ceiling than Aaron Hicks has. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out here in the final 2 months of the season. And I'm sure Trevor Plouffe is going to be a very interested party to what happens here regarding Miguel Sano and if he gets on the fast track up here yet this year.
What do you make of Sano being suspended for a handful of games for hot-dogging it around the bases on a home run, Dick? That made some news back here in Minnesota, of course, that he was – it took him, 30 seconds to round the bases or something on a home run.
Yeah.
A little uncalled for, whether it's in Minnesota town team baseball or professional baseball. The Twins were sending a message that, hey, even though you're the man, you're not quite the man yet. Your thoughts on that?
For those of you who have seen it, and I would imagine a lot of Twins fans have seen it on the internet, it basically what Miguel Sano did is something David Ortiz does every time he hits a home run. The difference is he's not David Ortiz, and he doesn't have 400 home runs yet. I think, to be perfectly frank, I think that it is a further evidence that the Twins have rather immediate plans for Miguel Sano, and rather than this being a detriment of some kind, I think it's further indication that he's closer to the big leagues than many of us realize, simply because they wanted to take care of this matter immediately in Double-A before anything like this happens up here. And I think in some strange way, it puts Miguel Sano even more prominently in the Twins' plans, maybe as soon as next year.
It's a tight line for the Twins or a franchise to walk, though, because in reality, Miguel Sano knows that he figures in the Twins' future plans. I'm sure they've said, hey, if you work hard, if you do all these things, you're going to be a Major League Baseball player. on one hand, you're blowing up a kid's ego and a teenager's ego to huge size to tell him all these things. And on the second hand, you have to discipline if he oversteps his bounds. It's a very difficult line to walk, I would presume.
Well, it is, but I think, for longtime Twins followers, they have done a pretty good job of trying to take care of matters like that in the minor leagues and not have it become an issue up here. And I'm sure one of the messages that Miguel Sano heard from his manager, Jeff Smith, was, look, you try that up in the big leagues, either you're going to get hurt or one of your teammates is going to get hurt in retaliation. So don't do that to you or your teammates. And I think the message got across. I'd be surprised if he did anything like that again, at least before his 400th Major League home run.
And Twins fans hopes he gets there someday. Dick Bramer, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. We are continuing our baseball conversation for the next few minutes on the Mike McFeely Show on this Wednesday afternoon. Dick Bramer with us on the program. A couple of questions for you, Mr. Bramer. One of them via email says, Mike, please ask Dick whether or not we know of any Twins players involved with PED suspensions, the drug suspensions or the steroid suspensions. I haven't seen anything. Any indications there that Twins will be involved?
No indications, but that said, I think there are going to be some names released that haven't been leaked out, so there will be some surprises, not that I know of. I don't believe the Twins will be impacted by this. The Tigers have been, they addressed their reaction to that yesterday with the acquisition of Jose Iglesias, who will be their shortstop very probably as they go into the playoffs instead of Johnny Peralta.
Another question comes in and says, was there a $1 promotion in Seattle over the weekend? I guess I missed that. I've been busy doing other stuff. Was there a $1 promotion or what?
Yeah, on Sunday, I don't know, the seventh inning, all of a sudden $1 bills started floating out of the upper deck, and there was a little bit of a breeze. So there were $1 bills floating down to the field probably for off and on for the next 15 minutes. Apparently, some company without the approval of the Mariners, had a couple of people in the upper deck, and they had 6,000 $1 bills, and they just threw them out over the stands, and they fluttered down, and we didn't get any in our booth. They got one in the Twins radio booth, and our camera guy on the third base side ended up making $22 out of the deal.
Actually, I'm surprised that people didn't jump out of the upper deck for floating $1 bills, because I've been in enough games.
If Bert were there, we might have had a problem. But no, he wasn't there, and it really aggravated the Mariners because they had no idea this was going to happen.
Oh, I can believe it. I know that would upset the team. There's no question about that. I remember. I knew people would go for free stuff when I used to cover the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, the independent league team here in Fargo, Dick. And one of the first years they were here, one of their sponsors was General Mills, and they were throwing those little tiny boxes of cereal into the stand. And people were like fist fighting for the free little box of Cheerios that cost about 13 cents. So when they did that and people were scrambling for that, I knew that they would go for free stuff no matter what it was. You know,
I remember in my disc jockey days, we would give away to the 15th caller a free taco, which at the time was going for 29 cents at Taco John's, Taco Bell, whatever it was. And people would wait on the phone for 45 minutes to win a 29-cent taco.
What was your radio name again? Could you refresh your
memory? Oh, we don't need to bring that up, do we?
You brought it up.
The Duke in the Dark.
The Duke in the Dark. Dick Bramer with you on KDWB. All-Star Game Fever, Dick. Do you have All-Star Game Fever? The Twins have kicked off their official hosting of the game next year. It's kind of cool. It's going to be an exciting thing, I think, for the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I do. I was part of the logo unveiling yesterday, and my goodness, it's a logo for an All-Star game, and some people are really upset about the logo, but it's going to be a great event. Obviously, you hope for good weather. And all that, but it's just become such a magnificent, nearly week-long event, and I really hope that people up in your listening audience there get a chance to come down for the Fan Fest or some part of it. It really is a big-time baseball event, and I am very much looking forward to it. I was at a Twins Pro Shop earlier this afternoon, and they've already got T-shirts and sweatshirts, and they've actually got the official baseballs for the next year's All-Star Game already for sale if people want to get those.
They're using this as a marketing opportunity.
Oh, sure. Right? That was the whole point of it yesterday.
No,
imagine that. Merchandising.
I can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How can people be upset about a logo? What? It's a logo.
Oh, I know. I didn't understand that, but I tweeted something yesterday. I thought it was a cool-looking logo, and people thought, oh, no, we hate it, we hate it, we hate it. And it's like, well, it's just not that big of a deal.
No, it really isn't. And the baseball All-Star game is still fun because the NFL, I think, today made some changes to the Pro Bowl. These other All-Star leagues or these other leagues are trying to change their All-Star games to make them more palatable and more marketable, and baseball really hasn't needed to do that. They tweaked it with the winning team getting the home field advantage, which is okay, but then baseball's All-Star game just kind of keeps going on, Dick.
It's different than the other sports. The other sports seem to have to beg the participants to come out to wherever the game is at. And in baseball, it is a destination. It's a thing to put on your resume for a baseball player. And when we had the ceremony yesterday, Justin Morneau talked about his All-Star game experiences, the home run hitting contest, the fan fest, and everything surrounding it. It really is a wonderful event, and I'm really tickled that this area is going to get another shot at it next year.